Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Kerry Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, we ask you to please click tag share, tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And also, Let's Talk Fort Worth is interested in your show ideas. So if you have a show you're interested in seeing us do here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, drop us a line at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. I repeat, letstalkfortworth@aol.com. And we'll see if your show idea is something that we'd be interested in doing here at Let's Talk Fort Worth, but it has to be something that's connected to our community itself. So as long as it's a story that's connected to Fort Worth community, we definitely are interested in entertaining your ideas. Also tonight, y'all, we're looking ahead to June 5th, 2021. We're talking tonight about our wish list. What do we want from those that we're electing to be our mayor and city council downtown? So tonight we're going to figure out what that list should look like, and we're going to ask the question, should we expect that they get it done downtown? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But first up, we're going to talk to Chris Nettles, who is running over in District 8. In fact, he got 45.9% of the vote, as opposed to Kelly Ellen Graves, 43.5% of the vote. So we're going to talk to him tonight about, if elected, what we can expect from him. So first up, we're going to open up Mr. Nettles' line. Good evening, Chris. How you doing? Welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hey.
Hey, good evening. How are you guys doing on today?
We're good. Congratulations on the first leg. You got a lot of votes.
Yeah, I mean we were excited and still is excited about the election turnout. We worked hard into the community. We have been out in the community prior to this past election, and so we got our name recognition, and so we just steady pushing for this effort of change in District 8, and really all over Fort Worth, because I tell people, and I'll let you ask me a question, but I tell people all the time that although we just sit on one seat for one council, we have the ability to vote on all issues for the city of Fort Worth.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I got a panel tonight. Do you mind if we all ask you questions? Chris is only going to be with us like the first 45 minutes. So can you take questions from all of us?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. I'm excited. I'm moving around. But I can answer any questions that you have tonight.
Okay, I'll tell you what, great. So tell us, first of all, what's your platform? What are you running on as far as your platform?
Okay, well, one of the main things that we're running on is transportation. We understand that the economic development and job creation have lacked in District 8 and the surrounding areas. I'm coming out. And so we need to better our transportation from District 8 all the way through to where the jobs are. The jobs are down North Fort Worth. They're on the Chisholm Trail. Some of them in Alliance. And so we got to build up our transportation so that we can gain resources from our district to there. The other things that we want to do is we want to work on our economic development. We want to bring job creation. There has been slow to none job creation. I know we have a couple of plants that have expanded, but we actually want to make sure that these plants that are in District 8 begin to hire those who live in this district. And so some places that do provide jobs, they're traveling outside of our district to get here, and we're left behind. Of course, we want to work on our homeless plan. I've been having this homeless plan for the last 6 years. It's a mm-hmm. three-step plan, basically. Mm-hmm. We need to do an assessment on why are they homeless. Everybody that's homeless does not have a desire to be homeless. There are some who just going to rebel against any wishes. That's beyond our control. But those people who really don't want to be homeless, we want to assess them. Do they have a mental illness? Do they lose their job? Or they need to be on Social Security? And so once we figure out their assessment, we get them into the program that better suits them. So if they have a drug addiction, of course, we get them partnered with doctors that's going to partner with us on the private side as well as the public mm-hmm. side and the nonprofit side. Vice versa, mm-hmm. We bring jobs to the district. We tell them, listen, we have a homeless initiative plan, and if these people go through our homeless plan, we're asking for you guys to hire them. And so it's going to be a group effort. It's not going to happen overnight, but we want to try to make our homeless become self-sufficient.
Wonderful. Okay, you got to know some of these folks that's on this panel tonight. There's your buddy Tanya Carter's on the line. Good evening, Tanya. Welcome to Let's Talk. We're trying to open her phone line, and we're having trouble for some reason. Tanya.
Hello.
Evening, Tanya. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, Ms. Pinello.
Hey, is that Ms. Tanya Carter from Como?
Yes, this is Tanya Carter from Lake Como, Texas. Congratulations to you in your runoff election. What are some things that we, the constituents, can do to help you secure this race? You mentioned that you don't have to be in District 8, correct? Uh-huh, to
correct.
Assist you in your campaign. What are some things that we can do to assist?
It's a number of things. Basically, the runoff election sometimes is harder than the first election because you have everybody who's running, everybody's excited about it, and it's a low turnout in the May elections, point blank. And so the runoff election, basically we're telling people, hey, you voted once, but we need you to go back out and vote again. And so what we need your help, I'm going to turn it on. What we need your help in is putting it on your social media, reminding people that you got to go back to the polls and vote for District 8, District 6, District 9, I mean District 7 and 9, and of course for the mayor. The other thing is we're campaigning every day, so we're block walking, knocking on doors. Some of us are just actually doing lit drops, where we just go to voter houses and drop off information on their doors so that they can know that it's a runoff election. The other thing that we're doing is we're calling people, phone banking. That is very successful because it's hard to reach everybody by door, and so we can do it by phone. And so those are the biggest things that we can do. People can contact our office at 817-535-8000, and they can get involved in process, and we'll get them set up. The other thing is just put it on social media. Just remind people. You know, I'm at this point, it don't matter who you vote for, but if you go out and vote, it helps bring up the percentage for opportunity to change the narrative here in District 8 and Fort Worth.
One question, Mr. Nettles, one question. If when elected to Fort Worth City Council, are you for or against an independent redistricting task force and oversight, police oversight committee?
Okay, so I'm for independent redistricting, and I'm for a oversight police force commission, however you listed that. Those are two things that I have been voiced for throughout this whole campaign. Actually, when I ran for mayor, I was the first individual who requested that the city of Fort Worth adopts a citizens review board, and so I still believe the same. A lot of people are afraid of the redistricting committee of lines because that it would give the community an opportunity to nearly draw a person out of the district that they live in. I mean, so it's scary for some people because if we put it in the hands of the community, they can draw lines where it actually draws run for. And so, but I'm for it because I think that the community has the right to have a voice in the process. And that's what I think Fort Worth is missing, giving us the right to voice our concerns.
All right. Tanya, we're going to get to another one of these callers. Hold on. We're going to pick up, I think, Bob Willoughby's at 817-446. Good evening, Bob.
How you doing, Carrie and Chris? Thanks for coming on here. And hi, Tanya.
Hey, okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Hello.
Everybody can hear me? Okay, well, good. Yeah. Chris, congratulations on the runoff here and everything. And one thing you're already doing better than your opponent is you'll take questions. When Kelly came on and asked questions, she kind of froze up. I don't know what happened to her. I think she got ill. I'm not sure. And that's what we want. That's what the job is of a council member, is to answer and take questions. So what I'm really hoping above all, though, if you were to take that seat, that doesn't change, because that's what seems to happen to a lot of the candidates. Gina was taking questions until she got elected, and then she got ill and couldn't take questions. So I hope that if you do get that seat, that you'll hold to that. I really do. And on the redistricting, I've got to make one point that everybody's going past, and none of the task force meetings, they mention it, and they don't want to mention it for some reason or another, but I think it needs to be explored big time. It's going to cost us over a couple $100,000 a year to add two more council members. Now, mm-hmm. This is done on documentation that's inconclusive, because when they did the charter, they didn't advertise the charter, so only less than 1% voted on this. So my argument for 3 years, take it back, put it on the ballot, but advertise it this time on billboards like they do everything else that's not important. Put it out there and then let the people vote. And if they vote for two more, then great. I can live with that. But I can't live with putting two more council members on the strength of less than 1%. Not 99%, but 1%. And it takes 20% to remove one. So even at that, the numbers don't add up right. So what I'm saying, when something starts off wrong, let's go back to the beginning. Put it on the right track. I asked the task force to do that. And maybe with a new redistricting task force, maybe they'll see the logic that and do it. But that's what I think. We need to go back to square one and follow it out from there, and I can live with that. But if we're going to go on a crippled or a broken thing and carry on, I have a problem with that. And that's what a lot of people are dodging past this part about adding two councilmen, it's going to cost us $250,000 a year. And that, but anyway, that's something I'd like to see. But yeah, well, I wish you a lot of luck and where you're at there, and that. So, but the main thing above all is that I hope that you answer questions and that. So, anyway, Chris, keep rocking.
Yes, and I'm gonna jump in and just kind of know it wasn't a question, but I was looking at some of the rules and the procedures as it relates to City Hall. Trying to familiarize myself in preparation to take the seat. And one of the things, Bob, is it talks about how in the commenting section of free presentation, community presentation, whatever they call it, it does not allow council person to respond to those questions or concerns of the citizens. And one of the first things that I'm going to do is I'm going to ask for permission to go against those rules. And if there's something that I want to come in on or answer, somebody asks me a question within the time limit that they're given, if I can answer it, I'm going to do that. But there is rules and guidelines in there, but I'm going to try to do the best that I can to uproot those rules so that we can have transparency when we're sitting on City Council.
That's very good. Even if you can't do that, there's nothing stopping these council members from asking after they get home. They can reply next week, you know.
Well, yeah.
And I would have no problem with that if they did it. And something else I thought, well, maybe if we had to, then maybe you don't do it. This is a presentation. You add another thing to the agenda called a Q&A session, maybe, something like that. Maybe a different thing you add, and then you get that. But that's what we need. And one other thing I'm fighting real hard for, the most easiest thing to do, and I have the biggest effect, and it's going to be hard to do it, move the citizen presentation from the bottom of the agenda to the top. I'll be talking about that Tuesday night. White Settlements at the top, Kennedale, all the 100 other cities has their putting the people back on top. I think that's something that won't cost a cent, and they can do it in 1 week and put us back on top where we're supposed to be at. And that's another thing I was fighting for. How do you feel about that?
Hey, I'm for it. You know, Bob, I was down there several nights with you.
Yeah.
To 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
You
want to
get
seat.
Out too, like
so.
Me. So, okay.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping you were for that. So, but anyway, no. Well, very good, Chris. I'm glad you came on here and you're doing the first thing. And we're doing a voter education show on Sunday nights, 8 to 9 on the blog. And Carrie's been helping me out. And I've been watching how she does things. And we're hoping to do some education on the show there. It's a Blog Talk Radio and off my website, fwdistrict5.com. You can always get the information. But anything the city's not telling us, that's what we're trying to, share. So anytime you can drop in or if you want to come on or whatever, give me a yell. You're more than welcome to come on or drop in. Okay, Chris? Appreciate it, and a lot of luck.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, we're going to go to area code 817-721. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening. This is Eddie Griffin. I want to say to Mr. Nettles that you did a great job in running your race. And one of the things that we are looking for in our district, in District 8, is change. We have been seeing a lopsided development in our community. If you divided the city of Fort Worth of those inside the loop versus those outside the loop and those east of I-35 and those west of I-35, you will find out that the southeast quadrant is the most neglected, but yet and still when we say that zip code 76104 has the lowest life expectancy, Kelly Allen Gray don't want to relate to zip code. Well, that zip code jumps out at everybody in the whole state because we have such a short life expectancy. I would like to see priority placed on in the southeast quadrant instead of continuing business as usual, developing outside of our quadrant.
I totally agree with you, Mr. Griffin. And I have heard some of those comments that we don't live in zip codes. We live in communities and neighborhoods, and I get that. But we have to address the problem at hand. You know, it's not one person's fault that the 76104 zip code is like that. It's not her fault by herself. It may not be her fault at all. We have to, now that we know what the problem is and where it lies, we have to address that issue. And so that's going to be one of the things that we do address head on going into that. And it has to do with the lack of grocery stores. It has to do with the lack of access to fresh foods. It has to do with the lack of access to doctor's offices and urgent care and health clinics. Because if you notice, there's not an urgent care inside of District 8, and that's inside the loop and outside the loop. There's not a I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
You went out for a second. Are we losing Chris?
Yes.
Chris, yes, we can't hear you. Weird. Chris, we can't hear you. He's still on the phone line for some reason. I don't know if he's in a dead zone. I think he was traveling to another event that he's due at 8 o'clock. But, Chris, if you are on the line, we cannot hear you, okay? His call is dropped, so obviously he went into, his phone call dropped. So we're going to see if he can call back in and get us started. But he has an event at 8 o'clock, so he kind of squeezed us in. We booked him at the last minute, y'all, because we wanted to at least talk to one candidate tonight, and he was the only one that was available. So we thank Chris for taking our requests at such a late hour and then and coming on the show. Okay, Chris, you're back.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Can y'all hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna have to take the issue head on first. So the lack of access to grocery stores, access to fresh produce, to doctor's offices, pharmacies. There's no, you know, within the 76104, that's not a closed pharmacy there. And so there's areas inside of 76104 that we're going to look at bringing a hub of resources there, so a Walgreens, a CVS, a doctor's office, an urgent care, and there are, and we'll talk about this later on in the conversation, but there are shovel-ready projects that are ready to go forth in District 8 that, you know, once elected, we're going to push those projects forward because we have to, and I'm going to ask of the mayor and other city council electeds to help us build up 76104 so we can take that off the map with it being the lowest life expectancy in Texas. And so it's going to take a partnership to do that. But that is going to be one of the things that's on our agenda going into office.
Two things that you did not mention is that in this zip code, there's a lack of health insurance. And people are hesitant to visit the doctor or go to the hospital because of lack of health insurance. Plus, we don't know how many of the people who are transient. I don't call them homeless because I understand that they're moving from one place to another looking for an opportunity to settle. Where they can find jobs or get employment and start all over again. But in our transit community, we know that there's a lack of health care, and the mortality rate could very well be high among those. Nobody's keeping count.
So the health insurance runs on the borderline of the state rep and the congressperson. And what we're going to have to do is, and I talked about this in another forum I was in, is that we're going to have to partner with them. I actually had a call with one of the state reps a few weeks ago asking what can we do for this area. And so one of the things is Stop 6 has a JPS clinic in it. And I remember several years ago when I needed a tooth pull, and I didn't have insurance. I don't know how old I was, maybe 17, 18, 19. I can't remember. I wasn't on my mom's insurance anymore. And so I went there, and you can fill out a if you qualify. And then, you know, if you qualify, then they'll do the work for free. And so, or whatever it does, they allow you to do certain things. And it's paid for through the health benefits of JPS network. And so we have to bring one of those JPS's network inside of the district so that people who don't have insurance still have access to go and get the help that they need. Because I agree with you. I mean, you know, if you don't have health insurance, a lot of people are just not going to go to the doctor, not going to go get checked out. And with COVID-19, that have shown us that we cannot allow our low income or our inability to get insurance to determine whether we're healthy or not. And so we're going to be looking at that, Mr. Griffin, to making sure that we get something in our district.
Plus the fact we have a VA clinic right here, and a lot of our homeless people are homeless veterans, and yet and still they don't know what's available to them because they are kicked around rather than assisted in their needs.
Wow.
We're going to have to do a robot. Go ahead.
Andy, we're going to have to get to some more of these calls because Chris has got to get out of here in just a little bit, and there's a couple more callers that we got to get to.
Okay.
We're going to go to 817-705. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How everybody doing?
Good.
This is Wayman Brown.
Hey, Wayman.
What's going on, Chris?
What's up? What's up, my brother?
Oh, man, hey, still trying to hoping for the same things in our district that you're still fighting for in yours. Again, congratulations on the runoff. Yours was one of the ones we called early, even before voting started. Knew it was going to be a runoff. Knew it was going to be a tight race between you and Kelly. One of the things that I am proud of is that, you know, you're sticking to your platform, basically of what you ran for 2019. The unfortunate thing of that is it's still, you know, something that we have to have on the platform because nothing was resolved that was brought up of the 2019 election that has to be addressed now. I am a 76104 survivor. From 1963 to 1978. And one of the things that I can tell you is for all the things that you talked about, particularly those plans that you want to move forward, a lot of those things had already been in place on the South Side. You know, instead of putting a lot of businesses back up, what they have done, they just erected a lot of homes there, which there's no shortage of homes, but they replaced those businesses with houses because there were two grocery stores within walking distance, say no more than three blocks from Tennessee up till Illinois Avenue, you know. So there were doctor's offices there. There was a dentist's office down there on Bessie. You know, there were a lot of businesses. The old Grand Theater still stands there. Unfortunately, it's in the hands of some people that don't want to put business back in there. But there's a lot of opportunity over there on the south side, and they're not taking questions with the city council, because I think if they allow you to start asking, you know, questions of their representative while they are in meeting, I think that would bring about a better resolve to find out what is actually needed in the community, opposed to the backdoor way of doing things that city council has been operating on. So 100%, I know you got a lot of backing with people that appreciate the transparency, because when you're transparent with the people, that will get a lot of things done. That will bring a lot of support. Like Bob said, you know, if you can continue that once you get that seat, I think it's going to make for a whole productive way of increasing District 8. And one of the things I wanted to – they kind of led to it. The segue was, okay, you have on the north – what is that? The northwest side of 35, and you got the southeast side of 35. Will you – what changes do you plan to make to make it the difference between equal and equity? Is my question.
Okay. Restate that question for me again, Mr. Wayne.
Okay. We all know there's a difference between equality and equity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Equality just says everybody's going to get, you know, everybody's going to get one apple. But when we're talking equity, it's making sure everybody gets enough apples. So
okay.
You have certain businesses on one side of the freeway, but once you cross 35 and you're headed east, we're nothing but chicken shacks, tire shops. What else we got? We got one cleaners, and when you start looking at it, it doesn't reflect the other side of the street. So my question is, what do you plan on doing to make both sides of the street look the same?
Okay. So, for one, Rosedale and Evans have already been approved for development. And
okay.
We have a master plan and a master development. And it's just been shot down. It's been killed. It's dead for some reason. It came alive 2 years ago when we was running. They was pushing stuff through after the election. We heard nothing else about it. So one of the things that we're going to have to do is, I don't want to sound like we're going to go on there and we're just going to revitalize everything in a matter of a year.
Right.
Because it's going to take a couple things to happen. For one, we have a lot of things against us. For one is our education is lower than the education around the city. Our tax revenue that we bring inside of District 8 is lower than any other district. It's because we don't have any businesses. We don't have any major corporations. We don't have any million-dollar homes in the district. So what we're going to have to do is work with our small business, our mom and our pops, and we're going to have to invest back into them. And so what I want to do with Evans and Rosedale is bring Evans back to the front that it used to be as it relates to, you know, you had Dr. Brooks' office there. You had, I think you were talking about, there was a another doctor's office right there by Matt Olive. We have to bring all that stuff little at a time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be pro development, but I'm going to be pro good development. That means that we're not going to let anything come, but it's going to have to support our community. And then when it does come, we're going to ask them to, basically the way we ask them to support the community is we say, okay, well, listen, we need you to hire people in our area.
Yeah.
You know? I want to bring the movie theater back because it's going to take a little entertainment to get us back where we need to be. We're just going to open the doors back up for opportunities is basically what I'm going to do. There's a project they want to bring an arts museum around the Barrie area. And it's been shot down. It's going to take us to bring one thing at a time. And then once it continues to bring, I'm going to work with the school board as well as the state rep because Nicole Collier wrote a bill a while back to help her area. And the bill basically said if there is an educational plan in place that would increase development with children, then we would entertain economic development in this area.
Yes.
So we need
that's one of the questions I was
asking. Go ahead.
That was one of the things I was – you went right into it, and I guess it was fortuitous that you did because talking about the taxes and the education, right now we know that there's a divide between our city council reps and our school boards, which falls up under that umbrella. How close do you plan on working with the rep of the school board that's in your district?
I mean, we're going to hold hands because the only way we're going to get development to happen in the district or to move to a better place is we're going to have to support one another. And so we're going to work 100% with them. And I'm going to go as far on a limb to work with City Hall and work with the school board to figure out how can we not meet at the same time. It's crazy to me that city council meets on Tuesday and school board meets on Tuesday, and both of these influence each other how we're going to grow and develop our city. I can't go to City Hall, and y'all going to get mad at me because, I mean, if I go to school board and miss all my City Hall meetings, y'all going to be saying I'm not representing you. So we got to figure out a way where I can get to the school board and making sure that they're acting on behalf of our children. And so
great.
It seems like it's going to be major Wayman, but I'm going to be the guy that's going to push it. I might be the only one crying out in the wilderness, but I'm going to cry until they feel like that we need to change it.
Can we get one more question in to Chris before he gets out of here?
I got a little bit. I got a few more minutes. Come on, I'm not going to just leave y'all hanging like that. I'm enjoying talking to y'all.
Wow, wonderful. Wait, let me get one more question in. 972-987. Good evening. You're on Just Talk for Words.
Good evening to everyone, Carrie, to your panel, and to the guest of honor tonight, Mr. Chris Nettles. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Can anybody hear me?
Is that Donnie B?
Sir, what'd you say?
He said it. He thought you were Donnie B.
That Donnie B.
No.
All right.
No.
No. This is not Donnie B. Chris. This your old coaching buddy, Adrian Smith.
What's up, Mr. Smith? Okay, all right.
What's up, my brother?
We'll be back.
Yeah, we getting ready to start it up, brother. But hey, this is more important right now. So your focus is in the right place at the moment. Well, real quick, this is my question on tonight. I heard you spoke of your agenda for the homeless, and you, like you stated, it would take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. So I'm not going to ask you to go further into that. But my question to you is there something for the district, considering you make decisions first and foremost for the district, as well as for the city, is there something within your first 90 days that you have on your to-do list that you will hope that you're seeking to get accomplished for the district in the, within your first 90 days? That's my question for you on tonight.
Good question.
Okay. Yeah, in my first 90 days, I want to get some projects that have been on hold pushed through and passed. I want to establish some support for the 76104 zip code. And the way we're going to support them is there's a small group that's called Southside Community Garden who have been putting gardens in the back of individual homes. And I think it's a great idea. I believe they need to be helped with funding, and I'm going to find money into our budget, channel the money that we have in our budget to support. Just like Mr. Griffin talked about, that is a state of emergency, and if we don't jump on that issue right away, then we're doing our constituents injustice. And that's a form of injustice. And so because they can't help it where they live or how long they've been living there, so we're going to find money in our budget, and we're going to support the Southside Community Guard. And they're not the only ones that's doing work in the community, but we're going to support them in other groups that is going to help take care and bring back 76104 zip code back to life. And so that's something that we can move within the first 90 days, 100 days in office.
Okay.
The next thing,
hey,
let me say this. I'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say in the last statement you made regarding the school board and the city council meeting on Tuesday, I used to think the same thing. I'm like, it's no way, because I'm interested in both aspects of what's going on in Fort Worth. And like you said, you only one person, so we can't be at both if they're happening on the same night. So hopefully, yes, sir. Well, I'm with you on that support of trying to get that changed.
Yeah, and I'm gonna need the support of the community, because I mean, whatever we have to do, we have to petition. If we have to go to these meetings and listen, you know, maybe one can start at 5 o'clock, you know, versus the other one. Or change the whole day completely so that we can better our city together. We only can do it together. And so the other thing I'm going to work on within the first 90 days is making sure that we do some adjustments and taking care of the Itatiana Jefferson issue. There are some things that still have not been done that the city had promised to do. And so I'm going to look into those promises and bring them to forefront.
Wow. All right, y'all. Anybody else got a question for Chris before he gets out of here?
Yeah, I got one question real quick,
okay,
if I can. Chris, by some strange chance you don't make, and I hope you do, really do, you know, I really hope, I wonder, will you stay involved? Because I really need your help. Even if you don't get in there, will you stay involved with things, too? In public, council meetings, things like that?
Yes, sir, I will.
You're a great help, and we need you to help, okay? And not disappear, but stay out there with us, because we can change things. Even if you don't get in there, we still change things with your help. Okay, that's all I had to say for you. Ask for you, Chris. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Anybody
else have questions for Chris? I heard someone unmute themselves. Anybody else got a question for Chris before he gets out of here? All right.
Yes.
Listen, Chris.
Well, Chris, you know that we're going to have a new mayor. One way or another, we're going to have a new mayor. I know a lot of people are pulling for a new person in that position. And the reason I state it that way, because it appears that with Maddie Parker, when she talks about the bully pit, that's still Betsy Price speaking. And I know a lot of people feel that way around the city of Fort Worth. And when you get this position, what will you do to make sure that type of mentality isn't being personified through you as a city council person, because we've been getting that response from our current or our past city council representatives.
Okay. I'm not sure if we didn't lose Chris again. Let's see. I think, I'm sorry, y'all. I think he is traveling, and I think that call dropped again. We will see if he's able to get back in. But I know he has an event. I understood at 8 o'clock, so I know the time was tight for him to come on, and I think he promised us about the first 45 minutes. So I think we got that. Oh, he's back on. Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I accidentally hung it up.
Okay. Go ahead, Wayman. Finish your question.
Okay. I spoke of the wording of Maddie Parker saying that the office of mayor is pretty much speaking from a bully pit. My question was, what will you do as a representative in city council to not have that narrative go out to your constituents? Because that's what we've been getting. We've been getting whatever Betsy Price says. We've been getting that followed down throughout every member of city council speaking, quote unquote, from the bully pit. What would you do to change that narrative?
Well, I have already changed it, I just have to walk it out, because the reality is that I will be elected by the people. I haven't took any money from any establishment, any corporation, the POA, or anybody who has this stronghold on Fort Worth, and that's including mm-hmm. Betsy Price and if Maddie Parker so be the mayor. So I get to stand independently and speak for the community. And one of the things that frustrated me about other people is that the community that you represent votes you in. That's why we fought for single-member districts, so that you wouldn't have to sell, and I'm saying I'm using sell out for me, not for anybody else, but you wouldn't have to mm-hmm. sell out your vote because you have to worry if they're going to run somebody up against you. And so I'm going to make sure that I vote on the way I want to vote, or the way the community wants me to vote on every issue, and I'm not going to allow whoever the mayor is to determine how we think our city should be moving as it relates to District 8, as it relates to the entire city. And I think there ought to be a challenge. I think we ought to challenge each other. I mean, because, you know, I come from a brother and a sister growing up household, and we challenged each other. Who could do it the best? Who could do it the fastest? Who could do it the smartest? And that's what we have to do when it comes to the city. We shouldn't always everybody just agree. Oh, we want a Dickies Arena, and we're going to just agree to that. Well, we got that Dickies Arena, but the black and the brown contractors didn't even get their first shot in helping build Dickies Arena. So what good did it do for the black folks? What good did it do for the brown folks? What good did it do for the minorities? And so, you know, I'm not going to vote for it if we're not – somebody talked about – I think it was you – talked about, you know, not making sure everybody get an apple, but making sure that everybody get what they need.
Yeah.
And so until we can all be on the same playing field, you're going to see a reaction coming from me across that horseshoe.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. Wow. Chris, you got any more time to take another question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, y'all got another question for Chris?
Yes, Eddie Griffin.
Okay, yeah, Eddie,
continuity.
Go ahead.
I don't want us to forget that that we had some things on the table many years ago. We were the first TIF1 district. That is to say, the tax incremental funding, and it included the Evanston-Rosedale district. We had an urban village designed for the Evanston-Rosedale district. And don't forget about the Morningside Children's Partnership began in 76104. those were works that that we had laid out that people seem to have forgotten about. I noticed that we got some railroad trailer cars flipped over on the side down in the Evans and Rosedale District. This wasn't what we had in mind for urban district, urban village. And we see what's happened on the other side of Main Street along the Rosedale corridor. On the west side, we see the banks that were built, places on Magnolia and all of that district, how it's built up. And we started at the same time. And the tax money is going, the TIF money is going over to them, and none of it has come over to us. And it's supposed to come from all of us, all of our business community. So, but we have seen to have forgotten about that because there's no continuity in leadership in knowing what we've done in the past. It seems that everybody wants to reinvent the wheel.
Do you have a response to that,
Chris? Did you get that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have several urban village inside of District 8. We have that needs to bring some life back to it. As far as it relates, you know, to the taxes, you know, and this is another great opportunity to win this seat for the future of District 8, because when the current council person took the seat, right when they took the seat, redistricting took place. And in that redistricting, we lost major city places, such as we lost Sphinx Airport. We gave up Sphinx Airport to District 6. Well, Sphinx Airport was a heavy tax payer in District 8. Then we gave up the hospital, JPS. JPS paid into the district. We gave up Magnolia. Now, Magnolia didn't look like it looked today, but we gave it up, and they asked us to give it up because they knew what they were going to be doing down in the future. And so in this next redistricting, we got to do our very level best to get some of it back or to make sure we don't give up nothing else that's going to take away our tax revenue. Because why is that so important? When people say, well, when are they going to fix my lights? Why this freeway on 287 is dark at nighttime? Or why we got potholes? Well, that stuff comes from the money that we receive through our taxes. And, of course, it is. Now, they'll tell you that the taxes is a tax pool, that everybody have access to it. That is right. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who needs it the most. Who needs the lights the most? Is it District 8 that has no businesses, or is it District 6 that has businesses up and down each street you go? And that's where the argument comes into play. And so that's where the tax dollars come into play. And that's why we got to bring development, businesses, and we got to somehow get some of our stuff back that we lost 12 years, 10 to 9 years ago. We got to get it back.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, well, one of the first things you need to do is look up that TIF 1, because we are still in TIF 1. Our businesses are still paying in the TIF 1, but all that money that's donated to TIF, and it's business. These are business taxes. These are not individual taxes. This is business taxes paid in the TIF 1. All of that money has gone into what you're talking about over there, Magnolia, Rosedale, west of Main Street, all of that beautiful development that's going on over there, it come out of the same money that we contribute, our businesses over on the other side contribute to. Nell Weber made certain that we were part of TIF 1.
I will look that up, Mr. Griffin, and if I forget somehow in the first 100 days, call me and let me know to look at it again. I'm be honest,
right,
just remind me. Look that up.
All right. All right.
Chris, let me ask you one question before you get out of here. Bob Willoughby this week, you know, made the news because he discovered some corruption downtown. And we know that Brian Byrd says that there's corruption downtown. Obviously, he's not willing to tell us about it because he was only going to tell us if he got elected. So that said, if elected, will you expose corruption that you discovered downtown?
Yes. I will. I mean, if it comes across my desk, and, you know, I know Chief Fitzgerald has been talking about a lot of corruption that is still on the line marks, and so I think that it's going to be my duty to be transparent, especially when it comes to our community, because what I like about me having the opportunity to go to represent our people is that I know how I feel to be on the opposite side. I know how I feel. You know, there was a time that I was talking on the mic and Betsy Price had me escorted by the cops. I'm not cops, that's old school saying, but by the police officer out of the building. And so I know what it feels like to be on the other side. And so if there's corruption, I'm going to reveal it and tell my community about it. I'm going to use my platform to make sure that we know what's going on in the city of Fort Worth and that we can actually bring a change to it.
Okay. We got one more question on the line. Can you take another question?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. 817-521, good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Hold on. 817-521, good evening.
Well, hello there. And Carrie, and of course, Chris. My question is, man, because I think that we just kind of, I don't want to call it pissing in the wind. Right now, I don't think that it is about your values and what you want to do when you get in office. I think what we should be talking about is how we're going to get you in office. My question to you is, I'm Antonio Twin Harris, man. Again, I've been supporting you and everyone that I feel is going to do their job in city council. My question is, how can I help you get in office?
The best way that we need to help really Twin is doing the old school way, is knocking on doors. And what we're trying to do now is actually, there was 5,200 people who voted in this election. It broke a record. That's a shame that it broke a record, because in District 6, they had 10,000. In District 3, they had 14,000, or whatever that number was. And so the best we can really do, Twin, is put it on social media, and I need people to help. Like tomorrow, we're having a block walk in all of District 8. And 10 people, we can knock out almost 500 to 800 people out in 2 hours with 10 people. And it's really that simple. And the more people, because this election is going to be so hard to win, because everybody just don't come back out, or people don't. And the bad part is that a lot of people think I won already, because I had more votes than everybody. And so people think I already won. And so we got to let them know, you got to go back out again and vote. So if you got 1 hour, 2 hours of your day, any day starting tomorrow and any day leading up until the election, I can use your help. We will tell you what doors to go to, and if you don't want to talk to people, hey, just put the door hanger on the door, and that is a message to them to remind them. That's what I need help in, is getting the word out that we need to vote again.
Right. Because, I mean, again, man, I've seen in this election how we're not engaged. And, again, all of what you're saying right now, coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, it blows in the wind. until you get in office in order to make sure that everything that your intentions, see, we got to deal with intentions right now. It's time out for those hopes, those dreams, and what have you. We got to deal with who got true intentions. My thing is, I don't know what you can do or what you want to do in office. That don't matter. What matters is that the right characteristics and the right intentions get in office, and I believe that that's who you are. So, again, yes, man, whatever, I will find out. Well, I mean, I'll get in touch with you guys and make sure that I do my part in ensuring that you get in there. So, like I say, I believe that's what's most important. We can come up with all the solutions or what have you, and I noticed that even our solutions being said and being wrote down and being talked about are being used by those who are in office, you know what I'm saying, to take the credit for that which we do. So it's really not, it's time out for all the talking, and it's time for us to be quiet and get in office and show who we are. Are you following what I'm saying? Hussein Bolt, he got on the starting line, and when the gun fired off, he showed action, man. He showed that he was the fastest. So, again, I think that, it, you know, at this point in time, it's not about, you know what I'm saying, what you're going to do. At this point in time, it should be how we're going to get you there to show that which you're going to do.
Hey, Chris, can you hear me? Or if I'm still in there?
Yeah.
Anybody hear me? This is Bob. If you have a contact, you might want to put that out there right now, a website or a number or whatever if you like, or a Facebook. That might be good to put out right now. So everybody know where to go to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Go help to contact you, okay?
Yeah, let me go ahead and put that number out here, Bob. Thanks. That's a good idea. The number is 817-417-4426.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yes,
817-417-4426.
Okay,
everybody get that?
Yeah.
Chris.
And
that's
another bill collector right away. So
one
don't
more
worry,
time,
you'll get some
please.
Calls, Chris. Okay. No, I got that. Thank you.
Hey, Chris, I got one thing for you, man. Hey, May 22nd, 2 days before early voting, there's going to be a get-together of all the South Side people that grew up in that area, even though they moved out. May 22nd, they're going to be at Hillside. They're going to be at Hillside Park up there at Hillside Gym. I think it'd be a great thing if you had an opportunity to just stop by for 5 minutes. And I'll definitely be endorsing you and letting all my fellow Southsiders know, you know, hey, if you voted before, we got to get back out there. Like Quinn said, hey, we got to get him in. So if you can stick your head in there for 5 minutes, wave a hand or whatever, believe me, you got some people over there that won't change. And I think it'll do a lot, you know, for you to convince some people that didn't vote before to actually come out and vote this time. So it'll be posted again May 22nd at Hillside. You know, hey, man, just stick your head in there. We're going to be there from 5:30 till 10:30. So
okay. Well,
get yourself to eat and say hey.
If you can send me that, I would appreciate that. So I'm putting on my calendar. But I did just finally make it to my destination. But I appreciate you guys taking the time out to ask me questions. And anytime I'm always available to answer. I was somebody that supports me asked a question to another brother that asked me a question on Facebook and said, man, why are you asking him that? And I said, no. I said, let people ask questions. That's what we're here for. Let's talk about these issues one-on-one and get to the bottom of it. And so I'm here to answer the hard questions or the easy questions. So I appreciate you guys tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Take
you,
care,
Chris, for stopping by tonight. Thank you. Y'all got
All right.
Business.
Well, y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Chris Nettles, candidate over there in District 8, running against Kelly Ellen Gray in the runoff. So we shall see y'all. Listen, it's been a crazy week in Fort Worth. Bob Willoughby's on the line, so we want to know from Bob. Listen, we saw you all over the news. So we just got
I know. I thought it was pretty funny, too. I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, is that person on there. No, that's, yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I just came across that, you know, and God's always had a sense of humor with me, you know. This couldn't happen about 2 months before the election, could it? Right after the election, get all this free exposure, you know. I'm thinking, God, 2 years for this, and look what you give it to me now. So, but anyway, but yeah, you know, it just, you know, came in day, broad daylight they're doing this, you know. And when I found it, you know, I rode up on my bicycle getting lunch. And I saw them doing it. I said, man, I got to go home and get my camera. I went back and got my camera there, and I filmed them, and I wanted to be kind of careful. I sure didn't want them to start beating me with their shovels or anything because they didn't look like they wanted me to film them. They were a little bit, you know, and I thought, you know, I'll just, you know, I asked them if they worked for the water department. But, yeah, it did kind of go a little bit viral there. And I'll tell you one thing that came from this. It's really good. It came from it is that the director from the water department was excellent. He was great. And I give him a lot of credit. If co-compliance director Brandon Bennett would work like this, you probably wouldn't know who I am. I mean, and that's day and night, you know. I'm sorry?
Everybody may not know what they're talking about. So can we set it up so that everybody knows what we're talking about? Because somebody may be listening and go, what are they talking about? So Bob was on the news.
You know what? You got a point there. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Somebody may not know. So can you take us back to the beginning so everybody understands what happened?
Well, it was not much that really happened. Just that they're riding my bike up, I saw the water department. They had two bigger the white dump trucks, you know, and one backed up in the driveway. And there's a video you can see on the website at fwdistrict5.com. And, you know, also I noticed on the city website, they sure didn't give me much credit. They just called it a neighbor. But anyway, it's not about that. But anyway, the trucks and those guys there shoveling that asphalt in that driveway, and out there in the street was another truck with a steamroller and that, and they just, you know, they didn't look right. So I went home, got my camera, went back and filmed them, and then I went back and called the water department and asked them, you know, if I could get my driveway done. Because if he's getting his done, I want to know how much they charge, and you know, I want to get mine done too. You know, and she goes, well, we don't do driveways. And I'm sitting here looking at this video on my desktop. I'm playing it, and they're shoveling that, you know. And I'm going, so you don't do driveways, right? She says, no, we do not do that. And I said, okay, well, you know, these big white trucks with the water department on the side, that's not, you know, they don't do it. Anyway, she confirmed they do not do that. And I thought, well, I'll call the city center, too, and ask them. And they told me the same thing to confirm it, so I recorded them too, saying they did not do it. So anyway, I made the video up, and I put it on Nextdoor and Facebook and shared it around, and I put on there, what do you think, you know, and just, you know, I didn't want to make any fast, even though it looked pretty crooked to me, I learned not to jump too quick, you know, nowadays I kind of take it really easy, but anyway, I put it out there, and then Monday morning I got a call from the water, the director, he was great. I recorded. We talked for a while about it, and he was excellent about the whole thing and laid it out. And I recorded that, and I put it on the video with it and put it back up there. And I put one out called Busted, so you can hear them. And he's talking about how they're doing the full investigation. They resigned that same day. All four of those employees resigned that day. You know, there's a criminal investigation. And, you know, it's not in my normal routine to wake up one morning and get a call from, you know, Scott Gordon, Channel 4 News or Channel 5 News, and then another call from, you know, Alan, I think his name's Alan, Jason Allen from Channel 11. So you're getting these calls that morning. It's kind of weird, you know. I'm thinking, I don't get these kind of calls. But anyway, I lost track of thought there by doing that. But anyway, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, I got to film it. We got it out there, and then it went viral after I put that what they're going to do into it. Anyway, it kind of went viral, and they started asking. So I did a report on Channel 5. They did it at 10 o'clock at night, and Scott Gordon was great. We spent a lot of time talking and about a lot of things, and he was actually, it came to me on my email. It was from Scott Gordon. I got that night, and it was Mr. Moon, Councilmember Moon, sent it to Scott Gordon, saying that he ought to interview me. And then when I met with Scott Gordon, he said, "Yeah, Mr. Moon's a fan of yours." And I thought, "Wow, after all the critical things I've said about them, that's, you know, and still be a fan, that's pretty good." But anyway, I do kind of like Mr. Moon. If anybody showed a little bit of a flickering of a council member, I'm not happy with him down there. He showed a little bit. But anyway, it was pretty interesting. But anyway, we got it out there, I kind of ran out of gas on that one, didn't I? But anyway, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, Carrie.
No, you're all listening. We're listening because it is only you and Tonya Carter. When y'all come around, y'all get stuff done. Tonya Carter puts her phone up in the air, start hollering, "Come on, watch the news," and the police just start to scatter. And when you go down to City Hall and say stuff just starts to change. So y'all got it like that. I mean, that's just what that is. And that's
hey.
The thing. And I say that with respect. I mean, for real.
Carrie.
Say what,
tell you? I need ice. It's just ironic. It's coincidental, or it's very ironic. It seems like when Tonya Carter speaks or Bill Willoughby speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton, and everybody seems to listen all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Don't start changing. You know, it's kind of like Tonya, when you put that C-SPAN bag on, stuff hits different, don't it?
Yes, that C-SPAN bag will make it work, baby. It hits different.
Hey, Carrie, could I ask a question? Hey, if I may, Bob, have you ever experienced any type of retaliation type tactic against you for all that you know? Because you are a voice. You are a great voice for Fort Worth and what you do. I'm 100% behind it. Have you received any type of retaliatory actions towards you in any type of way for some of the stuff you exposed and called them out on? And another thing, that's my question. But another thing I want y'all to observe, the language. Now they said those employees resigned. They were not fired. They resigned. So I'm sure, like I shared with Carrie, I'm sure someone told them to resign. We're not going to just resign because it's – go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. They were under administrative – immediately they were put on administrative leave. Immediately.
Uh-huh.
And when they were put on administrative leave, they resigned the same day before they had time to do the complete termination of them.
Gotcha.
But they were advised
okay.
automatically to go on administrative leave. And they knew when I filmed them because – I filmed them, and I went home on bicycle, got my car from filming, and I got in, and I went ahead and got lunch. And when I came back and drove back by, they all three turned their heads slowly watching me as I drove by, and I kind of just smiled and went on. But they knew they were in trouble. They knew it. And the property owner, and I don't ride my bike up the street now for a little while anyway. You talk about retaliation. I'm going to be riding my bike for a little while anyway until I make sure he's okay because I got to go by his house every day now. I didn't think about that. I'm on a dead end. He's got an advantage over me. I'm trapped. So, no, there hadn't been any. And fortunately, you know, no one yet, and there's been some things that I've done that would, and especially in the zoning, because I did stop some duplexes some 4 years ago. And the guy, the worst thing was he was so pissed off. I went to go take down my signs because I make my own signs. He didn't take mine down.
Sir,
he cut it up and mutilated it. But go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I've seen your sign. Yeah, you've asked my question.
But he cut it up and mutilated into pieces, and that's the only thing I've ever had that was close to any kind of, and that was some years ago. I stopped his duplexes coming in. But sometimes you can make some people pretty mad. You're talking about, you know, very large sums of money, you know, and when you go out there on these zoning cases, and Gina Bibbins, each time I've gone, it's always took three trips on these things that should have been settled the first time. Unreal. But nevertheless, there's a lot of money when you stop. This guy wanted to put in seven duplexes, you know, and now, you know, I think he sold the land. He gave up and sold it. But anyway, you know, and you make them really, you know, and you never know nowadays. But I'm, you know, I don't know. Fortunately, I hadn't yet. But if I do, believe me, you're going to know because I'm going to be yelling louder than anybody. Help! No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. But anyway, no, I've been very fortunate. That's a good question, though, you know. Thank you.
Hey, Bob. This is Waymer, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm getting better, man. I'm getting better. Look at here. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Mm-mm.
Now, you got to look at that truck that material and that roller, that's not just four guys just saying, hey, man, let's do this for this particular person. That material is going to come up missing. That time is going to come up missing. And it's a lot deeper than just them four guys, trust me. I've had my – when they were working on my street, and I had to actually get the manager to come out to look at pouring me a second driveway. We went through the explanation process of what they could do and what they couldn't do. In order for them to do – it would have been real easy for the guys just to put the approach in and keep it moving. But I was told, hey, man, I got to get approval for this. So like my brother said earlier, it's kind of suspect, but it was expected for those guys to be told to resign, because do you realize if they resign – they can actually transfer to another job, still working for the city of Fort Worth. So
that's you know,
it's going to be,
that's something to think
it's
about.
It's
going to
be like a shell game.
Well, I asked the director that I want to stay every step of the process. I want to know what happened to everybody and what was the penalties. And I know it's going to take some time for it to play out, you know, and all that. They did say they're doing the police contacted me, and I gave them the video. They're doing a criminal. All the way from criminal, and I, you know, like you said, I don't think that's the only driveway they did. They've been doing other ones, probably. You know, it's probably a lot, and then it goes up the ladder a little bit too. You know, up to somebody.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Because in order to make that kind of move and missing that kind of material, and for those guys to be accountable for that time, somebody above them had to give the green light to go ahead and do this particular project.
Maybe I should be starting to be concerned about my security now, huh? No,
well,
go ahead.
Well,
now you put it that way, start thinking, how high does it go? No.
Whoever's property this was, that connection is going to come out. That, you know, they're going to look up that address. They're going to find out who is the resident of that home. I know he said they're not going to do
it. I know him. His son has a house across the street from me, and it's Dave on the corner. And Channel 11, I mean, Channel 5 tried to go by, and he wouldn't take any questions, but... They know he
right.
is, but that. But now I got to hand it to the water department director, and which is the assistant director of the customer services, coming on my show Sunday night to take questions for high water bills. I had him booked before this happened, right before this happened, and he was willing to come on for this happened. So out of everything, I've got to say the part I feel it's secure up there, that they're really serious about this. They don't want this stuff happening. You know, it feels that way, okay? But there's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And code compliance, you can give them all the evidence you got, and they're not moving. You know what I mean? The director's not going to do a thing, because it's from a higher, like you were talking about, it's going to take the mayor and city manager. Code compliance is fed down from the top there, and that's why they're doing from that. And then so that's going to have to be right there's the only way you're going to fix or something there. But that's got to be – something needs to be done about that. That's terrible. This is – I'm going to use this at council. The director of the water department was great. And I don't know if you saw the video with his recording, because I put it out there too with him. And he mentioned out what's happening in that, and that'd be criminal. So I'll tell you, at the end of my show, every – you know, I want to keep updated, you know, until the end. I'm going to follow that out, all the processes – what happened to the property. I want to know everything, every little bit, at the very end, and put it all together, and then we'll do another show then. You know, it might be a year or two if I'm still alive, but if I'm still available or whatever, if I'm not in a bridge panhandling for money for campaign funds. So we'll see, you know, but that's my plan.
Well, you already went public. You went public, so if anything happens.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I think I can hear y'all. Yeah.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to tell you. You know, I got a lawn service, man. And I see this happen all the time. I see where they probably put a sidewalk for the city, and they would pour a driveway for a resident. I see it all the time. So this ain't something that's new. It's been going on. I've been out here seeing it. And, of course, I can tell you what ethnic background they are. I can already tell you. And it's been happening. again, hey, man, this ain't something that's new. And you, I'm glad that you're exposing it and what have you. My thing is, you know, I work and, you know what I'm saying, I'm minding my business and doing my thing. But you are right.
Google search.
Say it again.
Was that you, Tony?
I heard somebody say something, but I didn't say anything. Go ahead. Go ahead, Twin. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was just saying that it's not new. You know, they're taking advantage of the city's equipment and what have you, and it's been going on. And we see, I mean, things are going up faster than we can realize. Why? Because they even working at night. I done seen them pull it, you know, because they take their trucks home and what have you, and they work at night, man. So, again, you know, this ain't something new.
Yeah. Well, we'll follow it out and see what they come up with. It might not go very far. You know, it goes to a dead end through that. We'll see what the results are and put it out there. But, yeah, like you said, it's not new. But there's so much corruption. You know, that's why they're probably doing it. They've gotten so used to doing so much corruption here that they probably just got relaxed and did it during daytime, you know. Just right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Well, you know, it's just a dead-end street down here. It's not much traffic. It's an easy place to do something like that and not get seen. Get in and get out because it's not in a real heavy traffic area. So his driveway and everything where I'm at, it's not real heavy traffic. So it is a good area to try to, you know, and they could have. They just did the wrong time. I just happened to go by and because it didn't take them but a few hours. They were, you know, working quick. They popped out there and everything. They were in the middle of it, and they would have done so, you know. But yeah, like you said, I'm sure they've done more and that. So let's see how far they go. And I don't know, you know, at least I'm just so pleased to see someone with the department that you can give them evidence and they do something about it. Whether or not they're crooked themselves, you know, that's left to be seen. They have to do it because they're exposed. Well, at least they're doing it. But all the other departments, including our council and, you know, co-compliance and all that, that's – but anyway, you know what I'm really anxious about? We get some new people. It don't matter who's in those seats up there, who we put in there. We've got to get the people back involved, and we take control again. And putting the agenda, put our citizen presentation on top. If we get enough people to fight to move that up to the top, that would be putting us back on top again and starting getting involved. But that's what we got to do. It don't matter who's in the seats. If we can just get back in control, they'll do what we want.
Well, that's one of the things Chris brought up. And the reason that they're doing it with city council and school board at the same time, because it's plausible deniability. You know, if we got a meeting going on at City Hall, but they also have something going on at the school board, and both of them need to vote on it, you know, who's to say who's doing what? Because that to me, that makes no sense that you're going to have the school board, which falls up under the umbrella of the city council, you know, that they don't have an input or even bring it back to the people to vote on what needs to be done and what's going to be best for not only that community, but for the city at large. So it's strategically planned that way. You know, I'm ex-military, man, and I can tell you, that's one of the things you do. You divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. And it's true.
And it's
all laid out that way.
And we got to get to the topic, y'all, because we only got like 30 minutes left in the show. listen, y'all.
What was the topic?
Listen, I know the topic tonight was we were going to try to figure out what we were going to ask for in exchange for our vote. But we do thank Mr. Nettles for stopping by and taking the question, so we do appreciate that. But we want to get to a couple of the suggestions, because Tonya Carter made a suggestion that maybe we need to draft out what we say tonight and ask these folks to do this. What we come up with tonight, because just like we just got through talking about corruption, should we be asking these candidates, if you see it, we need you to expose it. We need you to blow the whistle. So should that be something we're asking for from these candidates?
We can say that, but experience has shown me, based on the 26 years I've been in this particular district, they'll say one thing, but when they get in office, like I'm saying, hey, I know for the last 12, it's been whatever Bessie Price has said. And I can attest to when Donovan Weefall won, there were some things he wanted to change, and there were some things he wanted to do, and he was basically silenced. He was basically silenced on what he could ask for and told what he would or wouldn't get based on his responses downtown and how he was asking for them. You know, and they're still playing that you gotta go along in order to get along game.
But see, I think
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Adrian.
No, I was saying, I was just echoing what's the brother that was just spoken. What's your name, brother, again?
Wayman.
Hey, Wayman. I was just trying to echo what you were saying. I thought about that because I didn't know much about Mr. Weefall, but I do recall Mr. Weefall visiting our church at one point when he was seeking office, and then the word got that's what the word was around when it was all said and done. Once he was no longer in office, that's why he just left it all along together once his term was up because of how they conduct themselves down there. You know, they said politics. That's when I found out how dirty politics was.
Well, remember I said
you
Matty Parker was calling it what, a bully pit.
See, that's
so
sad.
Basically, we're gonna get instructions from him up here, and you know, like what you said with the topic, one of the things when we asked for, I think one of the things we've been asking for and haven't gotten. We've been asking for the independent infrastructure within certain parts of our community. You know, why does one part of District 5 look different than another part of District 5? Why is there businesses thriving on one part of District 8, and when you cross the street, so to speak, on the other side of the freeway, you see businesses dwindling and they're limited businesses? You know, that shouldn't be
right.
that way.
Why
isn't there a plan of infrastructure to make your entire district mimic itself, so when those dollars are spent, I know they say it's a pool, but this is one of the things, I found this out from talking with Nicole Collier. You know that these neighborhoods that have these game rooms in them, do you know when they get busted and they find, and these people finally pay their fines, you know, they're paying anywhere from $10,000 to $35,000, you know.
Wow.
Per fine. Now watch this. They said that money is pooled in the state of Texas. My question then was to the people that were actually controlling that pool is, one, why don't you inventory everything that is in that community based on the gaming? And for those that get penalized, why not take that money that they paid that fine on and use it in their community to help root them out?
Well, that is a big topic during a lot of the neighborhood associations, those gaming rooms. I went to a lot of those meetings, and one thing where it was costing us, I think if I got this right, it's been a little while since I've been to one, but they were talking about we're having to store a lot of those machines they confiscate. And they had to store them for, you know, periods before they get to court, and it was costing a lot of money that. And they just buy other ones real cheaply. I remember something about that. But it's a big thing, that gambling thing, what you're talking about, what runs on. And like you said, I didn't know the money went out. It goes to a pool out there. I think it should be here. But these are things that need to be examined. They need to be brought up and explored and examined. And we need people that will answer and help us. You need a council member that will come back with answers with stuff like that, you know.
Bob, you remember after the election last year, one of the first things the incumbent came out and spoke of when Gina said, she said, I want to give a shout out to my John T. White people. Remember that?
That's her John T. White Neighborhood Association she owns.
Yeah, now watch this. Where is all the development going?
John T.
Well,
White.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, no, it's rolled down man. 60 years next door to me. And
come
it was
on,
a lie. I've got the document. I've got the maps from the city showing that was going to be A21. It was A5, and I knew it was going to be A5, and they showed it as A21. They did 465 they rezoned out here, put no zoning signs up. And then not too long ago, Gina started agreeing with me at city council, which I got her on video saying, I agree with Bob. We need zoning signs. I'm thinking, it's been 8 freaking years I've been yelling it. Now you think we need zoning signs? You done did everything in my area. Now you want
to
put them up? You already
like
pulled those down. So, anyway, it's just disgusting.
Until we breed out corruption across the board, more of these occurrences will happen. As long as we have city council members who accept, to me, in my opinion and observation, their obligation is to those who fund their campaigns. I agree with Bob and other members on the panel. We need more citizen participation. In order to
Amen.
Get any candidate that is vying for a city council position or mayoral seat, okay, what do we get for our vote if we're talking about a minority-majority vote or, I'm going to say it, particularly a black vote? I agree with Brother Wayman, okay? Excuse me being coy. Only thing I know how to be is Tanya. A funky pair of lips will say anything. Proof is in your performance, okay?
Yeah.
So, yes, we can say this, that, or the other, but we are fighting and hollering about I'm pulling the race card. We are fighting white supremacy. We are fighting bankers. We're fighting money in development.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody that sits on council from my investigation, okay, they all seem to be tied into real estate, okay? So I would say that we get together as a constituency, okay, and residents in our city, all right, and we get behind to Deborah Peoples or Maddie Parker or Chris Nettles or Gina, whomever the council is, and demand that we get an independent redistricting task force, because a lot of these communities, they haven't even had an opportunity to submit the maps, okay? I say that we start, that we get a petition signed, particularly in District 3, 5, 8, 6, and 7, okay, that this redistricting stuff be held out. Because wasn't that supposed to be going down until after August anyway, after the 2020 census report? So what's the big hurry, okay? And then why all of a sudden, I don't know if this is turned and ran out. Well, she can't run another turn, but she's out of there, okay? But they already tapped, groomed, and primed, okay, people to come in behind them, okay, and then carry on the mindset of marginalized racism, okay? And so until we as a constituency stand up, stop being scared, okay? And then those that are on council or sit in seats, tap, groom, and prime people for the people, by the people, and demand these changes, okay? And keep them in and do nothing showing up. Oh, we fuss. We raise hell, all kind of chaos and confusion, okay? But then when it comes time to action, oh, you know, everybody on board in the beginning. And then we start doing it off. We're going to have to be consistent. We're going to have to stay resilient, and we're going to have to continue to move forward if we are to have, you know, we're visionaries, if we're going to realize this vision of a one-fourth work. And it is just my fear that transportation, that's big on Sister People's agenda, it may further, and Maddie Parker, so she say, may further gentrify already disenfranchised districts. And as far as Como is concerned, my personal opinion, facing imminent domain. So, again, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has stated, where do we go from here? Okay, so I suggest that we take notes from this meeting while everybody on board, and we have a little, I'm sorry, Sister Carrie, I ain't trying to take over, and we have a little audience that we jot down our suggestions, draft it up, email it to every candidate that's in this runoff, every, incumbent that's still sitting on their bench, and make them aware of the demand, all right, and just go from there, all right? Because we need demand, most important, right, what we get for our vote. I think that we ought to be able to keep our homes that we already have and not be forced, and we home owners and dwellers, not be forced out to outside of a loop or inside of a loop to a newly developed homeless or low-income district where they tax our, you know, our district so high with these new developments and block grants. Development grants that we paying for now to displace
yep.
us up at our community. And then those of us who are black that's hollering about what do we get for our black vote, we need to get on our black community leaders that appear to have sold out, okay, and they have, you know, they joined on to the Betsy Price regime. Now, I'm through. Well, let me piggyback off that. Oh.
Bob?
Yes?
I got your friend Joel Fitzgerald on the other text line, and he said, I know Bob W. So I just wanted to let you know that that he followed this story that you reported. It didn't have your name in there, but he texted me and let me know that I know Bob W. And something else about that video, and I told Carrie about this, not to give the police your video. That video is was pulled. It's no longer it's no longer online. You can't see it.
Well, if you want to text in my website, it's on my website, and I'll give it to anybody that wants it. They're welcome to it. Anybody that wants all the video, I gave it all to. When they contacted me, I gave it to the police so they can do their investigation.
I don't need it.
If anybody wants it, they're welcome to it, too.
I don't need it. I just wanted you to know that it's been pulled.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
Can Chief Fitzgerald call in and talk to us?
Huh?
Can you ask Fitzgerald if he can call in and talk to us?
He just sent me another thing.
Is this Griffin?
He just sent me another article. He was active. He's not active now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's listening or if he read the article, but he just sent me a text. You know, I know Bob W. Hmm.
That's very
and
nice of
that,
him.
Okay.
Yeah, and,
okay.
and he Yeah,
well,
he
just
sent me something else about
if you can send me something, if he'll contact us in the future.
Oh,
if you can send
okay.
me something, he'll contact us in the future, I'd like to talk to him.
Okay.
If he'll contact us in the future,
gonna,
I'd just like to talk to him.
If he's not going to talk to us on the show tonight, we're going to stick to topic. Mr. Fitzgerald, if you listen, we'd like to hear from you. Otherwise, we only got a few minutes left. Yeah, call on in and join the conversation. Otherwise, we're going to move on. Listen, and Eddie, no disrespect, but I mean, we'd like to talk to him. That's what I'm saying. We'd like to talk to him if he wants to call in and talk to us. Otherwise, you feel me? You understand
well,
that, though, Eddie, right?
Like I said, I don't know if he's responding to the article that I sent to him about the water department. But there was no name in the article. Bob's name wasn't in the article, and I noticed that he said, "I know Bob W."
Right.
And that
well,
was
yeah. But they
and then after
but they
after
put it
that,
on the video
said,
when they start playing the actual video, and you could hear Bob talking. They finally released his name.
Okay.
But now on the city website, when you
now,
go to that, you don't see anything but
well,
a neighbor.
I didn't know that he knew you.
Well, I didn't know he knew me either.
Well, this is one of the things we have to look at also, y'all. Remember, Chief Fitzgerald won his appeal. So maybe there's some things that he can't discuss. But like you said, it would be great to have him on to talk to him about what led up to it. And not disclose so much.
You know,
the good old boy system. The good old boy system. That's what I'll go on a limb. I think that's what led up to it. The good old boy system. They put a spin on it to say he acted some type of way out of town. But if this is my understanding, y'all, if this, I'm sorry, Terry. Go ahead.
No. I didn't say that. That was
no. Me. I think
if it's my understanding, y'all, I might be wrong. I think Chief Fitzgerald, he was, they didn't even give him a contract. So basically, they were testing him out. Basically, if it's my understanding. What's that? Mm.
Oh, y'all we out here deep. Listen, Fitzgerald, you want to come? We listen. I mean, we've invited the current chief, and he decides to go talk to the NAACP. We good with that, chief? No problem. We get it. So, yeah.
Wow. Did you notice that, Carrie, that you posted that, mm-hmm. that NAACP with Chief Neil Snokes? It's Tuesday at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. You know, people are still at work. Some are, and I don't know if you could take questions or not. Are they just gonna interview and talk to him, or is he gonna be able to take questions? That's what I want to get him on Sunday night. So you take questions.
At this particular point, let's talk for words. I'm not asking for an interview anymore because I asked weeks ago and I didn't get a response back other than he says he wouldn't come on with the candidates. Now I see he's going on with the NAACP. So Como Action News and your show, y'all can run with it. I'm not going to ask for it. I'm not going to request that anymore. So we're going to move on, y'all. Listen, back to what Tanya was saying. Bob Willoughby has an organization called, is it ICOC? Is that what it's called, Bob?
Yes. Well, I think Lemon knows what he went to one of the meetings.
Let me finish my point. Okay, so Bob's organization basically deals with community oversight. What does ICOC stand for, Bob?
That's independent. I had to write it down for. I know what it stands for. ICOC, Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, is what it's for. And a matter of fact. I just got a call today from another person about a code compliance problem that he's complaining about and how bad they are. So that just came in today. I talked to him for about a half an hour about that. But go ahead, Carrie. Go ahead. That's what it stands for. It's an independent committee.
Should we all join that organization, y'all, and do just what that says?
I'm with
it. In order to get it active, we're going to have to.
It'd be great if you want to sign on to the email list there at FWDistrict5. When I send them out, like I did on this, I sent it out to my. You might be in mine. I'm not sure, Raymond, if you're in there or not. But if anybody's not in there, want to be in there, what I do is some of these things that are important. I don't only send them out to the 275 emails, but I include city council. I got a city council, and it's something that involves the city. They get it too as well. So, and what's good, if we get that email list, the bigger we get it. The more they stand up and look at it, okay? The smaller it is, the less it's noticed, but the bigger it is, the more they notice it. So
remember,
that's what I'm trying to
talk about that.
The truth be known, if you got 10 strong people, you don't have to have 100. Because you can have 100 weak people that never get nothing done, or 10 strong people that move a mountain. Am I right?
Let's have both. Why not both?
But my
Why not
is,
10 strong people with 1,000 people behind them? I want to go with everything blazing, man. I want everything. I want all the weapons.
I get that. But my point is a lot of times people are not going to do anything or they don't get involved until they see movement. That's my point. Mm-hmm. And so if you never get the 100, as long as you got 10 strong people or 20 strong people.
Where are you
going to
get the 10 strong people at? Where are you getting them at? What 10 strong people are you talking about you can get?
He's
not paying attention.
You got four on the phone.
I just don't know what you're talking about.
I've been going there for 8 years, and they go to sleep when I talk to them.
I pay attention, Bob, and one of the things they
thank
do.
Thank you. I appreciate
listen.
It. That's,
they listen,
that's
but at the same
saying.
Time, they've already ahead, banded wait. Against you. They've already banded against you when you get up there because they realize that they're trying to downplay what you're bringing to the table because you're making the public aware of the corrupt things that not only you've encountered, but the corrupt things that are going on that are happening in so many of these other districts that nobody's really had a voice to go down there and say nothing about. And I think that's what Carrie's talking about is that if you got 10 strong people, that are standing behind what you're bringing to the table, you might have 100 people listening, but out of that 100, that 10% that you got working with you, it's like the old proverb, you know, when you spread your hand out, you got 5 independent fingers, but when you bring them all together, you got 1 powerful fist.
Ooh.
So
all right. If you had 10 neighborhood association representatives that were good neighborhood associations, that could be some power, you know, if you had good neighborhood associations.
Why did they have to be a neighborhood association? Because
you said one of them represents that, you know. That makes a strong person, right?
It did. They already have a homeowners association in Stop 6. Mm-hmm. I went to a meeting, and they were discussing in that meeting how to circumvent the current homeowners association to get done what they wanted to get done because of who they were representing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's one of the shows I'm going to have, too.
This is Chestnut Checkers, baby.
In District 3 as well. They serve as community liaison between the city of Fort Worth and residents.
Yep.
Hmm. Let me say something real quick. Whether it's the ICOC or another organization, we still got to have a group of people who are willing to stand up. So, whether it's your organization or another organization, we got to do that simply because issues like what's going on in Como, we shouldn't let Como just get chopped up. We shouldn't do that.
Right.
We shouldn't let
Stop
6 look one way and the other part of Stop 6 look another way. No, if one side of the city has potholes and another one doesn't, then the one that has potholes need to be fixed. If certain streets don't have sidewalks, don't have lights, we need to stop allowing that. We should stop allowing lots to, you know, be full of weeds on one side of town and not on the other side of town. On one side of town, it's full of trash and another side of town is not. That's where we, like Tanya said earlier, we got to stand up as citizens. So whether that's what ICOC or another organization, it is what it is.
Well, it reaches out to a lot of people in there from all districts. But another thing is we need to make our council members work. We need to start making them work. No one ever calls their council member about any problems. We need to start calling them, ringing their phone off, look on every freaking problem, and teach people to do that.
But I can say this. Every time you call Gina, you're not going to get Gina. You're going to get that lady that works for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to try to give you
a voice tree.
Mom, she's going to give you a whole bunch of runaround.
Yeah. But, I mean, we just need to get people to do it all across the district. Just people get involved and know that they do. People, I don't even think people know they even call their council member, you know, just to get them in move. And then when they call and they get the runaround, then maybe they might want to get involved.
Hey, I'm going to just say this. This past election, I think the current election season we're still in, I think this is the one. I think this is the one that has really woke up, just woke up people who are really just wanting to see Fort Worth for what it should be. You know what I'm saying? Considering all the candidates that vied for the various seats. You know what I'm saying? You know,
mm-hmm.
So we got to keep this train moving forward. We can't stop at station. And I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna ask the question: how do we get something on a petition? Because I mean, how do we get something on the ballot as a city? Because that idea of splitting up the school board and the council meetings, putting them on different days, I think that's something we need to find a way to get on the ballot so we can vote that in. Because otherwise, they're gonna just continue to do business as usual.
Yep.
Is that something you'd put on the agenda to talk about, or on a ballot? Which one?
Ballot. I think we need to get it on the ballot and get the city to vote, or the people to vote on it. Because you put it on an agenda, they'll blow over that. They'll just blow past that. This is a citywide issue. Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a procedure.
Sure. May I ask a question? Can you hear me?
That's clear.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think, man, what we're doing, we're giving them leeway. Our thing is we need to enact in everything that goes down. In other words, if Northside have a problem, Everybody needs to go and collectively deal with their problem, rectify their problem. And each and every issue, we should. See, this is why. But our problem is that we don't have no might. We fight without might. So we need to get a collective of might. And every issue, Bob, what you're talking about, you shouldn't have to wait. We all should go and demand everything that you believe needs to be done and needs to happen according to that situation. I had a run-in with the police day before yesterday. I just went over there. The young lady hit a car, and I walked over there to ask if she was all right and could we is her parents on the way and what have you. The police don't tell me I need to. Are you following what I'm saying? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find out who I am before you start talking to me, sir.
There you go.
Again, you are no better than me. Well, I'm doing an investigation. Well, we're going to do this investigation together. Our problem is we allow them to push us around, and we don't have might in order to stand up what they're doing. Again, Gina, if you want to make sure, if you want your whomever your secretary to take all your calls, guess what? We're going to flood up with so many calls until she's going to have to get another phone. What I'm saying.
There you go.
There you
now
go.
You're
so
talking.
Again, man, our problem
let's fill the calls and make her work. Make them work.
Exactly.
They won't want the job.
I am
they
sick and tired of city council.
But
I am sick and tired of the police. I am sick and tired of everybody that's not doing their job. Our problem is we allow them to set up their own goddamn do-nothings and do nothing. So, again, if we, whatever problem that y'all may have, I will be the voice. I don't mind getting in front of them. I'm not scared of them. And just like I told the dude when I was standing there, he going to tell me, I don't want you to get hit by no car. You know, you need to get out the street. I say, I'm a goddamn pedestrian. They know the goddamn rules. If I get hit, this is what I die for. Are you following me? I would die for. Because I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? I was there because I know and understand whatever that police officer write in that report is what's going down with that accident. Are you following what I'm saying? I want that child to know exactly that. I'm not here for you, boy. I'm here before the citizen. Are you following me? And can't yell at me. My voice can get as loud as your voice can. I'm not bagging down for him. So if y'all need twins for anything, you make sure that you call me. Because, again, I am sick and tired of city council. I hit a goddamn pothole and tore my damn rim up off my goddamn Mercedes. Are you following me? Again. So I now got to sue the city. So, again,
for those who are listening, this is not
down
for children. This
we
show
need to
is not
make
for children
sure
for
that
age
everybody
under 13 or under must go to bed now.
And push. Are you following
Bob,
me?
This is what
everybody
you
get behind and push.
This is what
everything is a
Joel
big
said.
Deal.
What did Gerald say?
Okay.
Excuse me, Twin. Let's see what Gerald has to say, Twin. Just 1 second. Go ahead, Mr. Go ahead.
This is what Joel Fitzgerald said. A man accused of stealing $700,000 from the city of Fort Worth through an online system was sentenced to 12 years on Wednesday. Accused of stealing $700,000 from the city of Fort Worth was sentenced to 12 years on Wednesday.
Whoa.
You have heard it in the mainstream news. You ain't heard nobody say nothing locally.
No, I don't know what case, but I hadn't heard anything about it, and that's part of the city.
Wow.
Are we there?
See, that's why a committee is needed.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that's why it's needed.
I thought
it
was $1 million.
Was it $1 million?
I thought it was $1 million, said Trace Beck. It was an audit downtown Fort Worth, a city audit, and you hadn't heard anything about it. Nothing.
Well, I'm going to tell you why they went down on the count. Because if it's whatever they get caught with, what happens is that they go in a category. You know what I'm saying? The guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So what they'll do, they'll downplay the amount so that person won't get the time. So again,
mm-hmm.
and again, Bob, this is why, man, we have no debate in this election. Why? Because a debate will expose Fort Worth City Council for what it is doing and what it's not doing. Or you follow what I'm saying? So now we got to start. Hey man, we got to start calling names and make them answer the phone calls.
Well,
are you following what I'm
saying?
Well,
here's the thing. Here's one thing, and it's baby steps. Like I said, if you move that citizen presentation to the top and then you call, you're in front of everybody calling them. Okay?
Yep.
You're in front of everybody
right.
calling them. They don't like that, and that's why this is so important. I got an email, a beautiful email from someone that almost didn't hear me. They were tuning in for a zoning case. Their case was going to be delayed, but she decided to stay on, and she saw me, and she sent me an email and said, oh, my God, I didn't know you, but I know you now. You know, it was a beautiful email she sent me. And she wouldn't know me if it, you know, but now if we were at the first, everybody would know you. You know, there's thousands of people like that don't know what's going on. And if you put us up top and they hear these complaints, then we get more eyes and ears involved and more of that. And we can get back and we can start putting those things in place like you're talking about, Twin. We can get more control in that. But this is so simple, so small, and I'd love to. And while we got the new council members coming in, and way Mike Crane, I was already counting him as an insider, but after talking to Mike Crane and seeing him, I don't know yet, but he does seem like he has compassion, and that's something. So we'll see. I'm kind of excited about that.
He's also a developer. Real estate developer.
I know, but he seems to. I want to. I got some questions. We'll see what happens. Maybe not. He might just be a regular insider, but he looked like he had compassion. So, I'm always skeptical.
Now, Bob, I will. Now, Bob, I have to contact code compliance on Monday. There's a vacant house on my street. Matter of fact, there's two houses up from me. Grass is about 3.5 feet tall in the front yard. Immigration came and ran the people out who were using the house. Since that time, now code compliance is over here because, you know, we got Wheelbarger Park right across the street from it. Code compliance is by here at least 3 times a week. Now, one time.
Wait a minute. Let me pause you 1 second and say something.
Go ahead.
Y'all listen, we're going to go off the air in about 2 minutes. If you're listening via the internet, you will not be able to hear us when we go to 9 o'clock. So if you want to get on the phone line to continue to hear what we're saying for the next 2 minutes, we're going to go over just a little bit, hopefully. And so, again, if you're listening via internet, you need to get off the internet and call in on the 516 at the top of your screen. We have 90 seconds left on the show, so you'll need to get on the phone lines at 516-387-1981. Otherwise, at straight up 9 o'clock, you will not be able to hear the rest of the show. Okay, Raymond, go ahead, continue.
All right, Bob, so code compliance is over here at least 3 times a week. I'm retired, so I see them every day. And my question to them is going to be, since they had these people evicted out of that house or moved those people out of that house, why isn't they holding anybody responsible for the maintenance of their property? Because if they were the homeowners, which I doubt, even when the city had put them out, they should have had, because the grass was already tall, they should have had somebody to come by and at least take care of their problem. Because they were doing my neighbor what they were doing to you, Bob. They were threatening my neighbor, asked to come in my backyard to look over in his backyard. And that guy wound up getting transferred out of this district. So
yeah.
Now that you got something that's sitting out in the front of the street, that's an eyesore to the entire block. You know why isn't code compliance doing something about it?
I'll tell you what. If you'll email me the address, I'll be glad to shoot it in there and see if they'll respond to me. I love asking them questions. You know,
yep,
and we'll
yep.
see if they answer
yep.
or not. I'll send it in and just see if they respond and ask why they hadn't done it. If you'll send the address, I'll get a picture of it, and I'll be glad to shoot that over. We'll see if they'll answer.
Okay, because we're going to do this.
And then I'll invite them on my show, too. I know they will.
I'm going to send
something. You know, I'm getting a lot of static here.
Who's getting a lot of things? That's you, Bob.
That ain't me.
Okay, somebody.
I don't know. It sounds like someone's in a car.
Yeah,
oh,
it, everybody's
still got quiet now.
They're really far away.
Yeah, that
can
sounds better.
Me?
Are we still here?
Okay, that's
good. Yeah, that's a lot
okay,
better.
Okay, so let's talk real fast. Okay, so we talked
okay.
about the infrastructure being a problem, you know, from one
right.
side of town to another side of town. This bond package is coming up. Should we all be putting in proposals for this bond money? Because they said the citizens get a chance to suggest how the money should be spent. Should we be flooding them with our suggestions on how they should spend this bond money?
We need to find out have they spent up all the bond money they
Will
had
it be
before.
Accepted?
Okay.
Will it be accepted?
What?
Will it just be another task force like redistricting or multicultural, and they develop the task force and they ask for citizen input, but yet the council doesn't have to accept or implement the suggestions. So is it viable?
And the problem is when they get the task force together, they don't got the brackets laid out. And that's the problem. We need to be in before they get the task force. We need to be in on the earlier stage.
Exactly.
They come out of the task force. Then either you take the whole thing in that box or you take nothing in that box. That's all you get to decide on then. You should decide what's in that box first. So we need to be at the early phases right now. What they're doing now, we should be updated every day right now what's going on with the bond thing. What are they deciding? You know, we should have a hotline, a straight line in to be informed every step of the way so we know what goes in the boxes. And right now, we should be knowing that right now, I believe.
And
well,
we actually need to start putting
the 3 o'clock meeting. They did talk about that at the 3 o'clock meeting on Tuesday. I told y'all that. So, yeah, you might need to go back and watch that because they definitely did talk about the bond package. But I thought about while they're putting that in place and they had some real big ideas to cost a whole bunch of money, should we be talking about the sidewalks that need to go in and our streets and the streetlights that need to go in and those type of things and asking that stuff get taken care of?
We got to be talking to them about it. They got to be communicating with us about it. You know, before we can talk, there's no sense of us talking about anything until we talk to them.
But no, they said you have a right to put in suggestions. I remember Kelly Ellen Gray saying that on the show.
Yeah.
Remember?
So.
Where at?
Well, we got to look at this, too, because they always, they don't always spend all of that bond money.
Mm.
So we need to start looking at when we can ask for an independent audit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that right to have an independent
mm-hmm.
audit of where that bond money has been spent, how much is left
mm-hmm.
over, where it went, and if there is some left over, why can't that money be allocated to whatever's left? And once it's all spent, now we go to a fresh page, okay? All that money
is
spent, this is what we – go ahead, Tony.
It's hard to get when you have city contractors coming and doing plumbing and repair work from February 21st storm, and you can't even get a receipt or itemized list of the work that's been done.
Where have I heard that at before?
See, that, familiar. That's something that shouldn't happen.
Listen,
that's
I'm
going to put
this out here. That happened. That happened to me, and it happened to James Smith. Basically, when we had that storm that came through here, we both had busted pipes. The city has an emergency water department that handled that. All you have to do is put in your request. They'd come out in a couple days and do it. They did mine, alleged that they did $5,000 worth of work to my house. I asked could they give me an itemized breakdown so that I would have that, seeing that I'm the homeowner, of exactly what they said they did. They said it was 14 breaks underneath my house. However, they refused to put that in writing. They said that, what did I need that for? Nobody had ever asked for that before. Basically, the answer was no. And so they wanted to give you a warranty. And I said, well, what is the warranty for? And they said, well, the warranty is for the work. I said, well, you haven't told me what you did. And they said, well, I tell you what, if anything ever breaks out, you know, in that area, just call us out. We'll look at it. And if it was our work, we'll fix it. Otherwise, you know, you're out.
Well, see,
yeah.
And that's
and
why
it's not limited
we need to have
to just
those
that. Also,
audit.
The water board and the disenfranchised areas, the flood zone, the same thing is going on with the contractors that are doing the work for that. There's no transparency of, you know, the minority contracts, and there's no transparency of the amount of monies that's going to certain contractors to do the work in flood zone areas.
Mm-hmm.
from this last special election. Yes.
That sounds like one of those governmental contracts to where we're going to fix your toilet, but everything it costs us $20,000 to replace that toilet.
Yep.
Well, what was the breakdown? Where did the rest of that money go?
Okay, and then that's how you can, misappropriate and, mishandle money. There's no transparency.
Yep.
So they can put down, they can submit anything to the city, but was that the actual cost?
I wrote the mayor, I wrote the city manager, and I told them that, they won't give me a breakdown. Can y'all look into that? And I have not received a response back.
Well, I'm telling you, Carrie, you ought to come on the show and ask the water department while they're on there.
That's the Fort Worth place. Remember, they're still doing the identical same thing with the school board.
Wow.
They're claiming money spent that they haven't spent, but that money is being allocated somewhere else, and it's not going into the schools that need it.
Wow.
That's why you ought to bring in that customer service guy I have on.
Okay, I just hope our future city council members and or mayor don't become scapegoats as happened to Chief Fitzgerald.
You said what?
Carrie.
What'd you say?
I just hope of this doesn't flow into a new administration for whomever is elected in office in the mayoral seat or on the city council, that they will become scapegoats for misappropriation of funds.
Okay, you were saying what, Bob?
Oh, Carrie, I was saying, I got the assistant director of the water company on Sunday night. You ought to come on and put that question to him so that he can, if there's any more corruption, and even though it was a government deal, ask him if it's, I think you ought to put that question to him. I think it'd be a very good question to put to him and see what he has to say.
I will definitely.
I mean, the way you laid it out right then, you ought to come on. I got a person for the water department, I think it's a good question you ought to put to him.
I will consider it. I definitely will consider it.
Okay,
Chris,
how much I got to pay you to do it?
here we go. Don't go here with me. Chris has some very good ideas about the homeless. But what I say to add to that, I think they do need to be assessed, each and every one of them. But I also think that we actually should be asking our city to spend some money on buying hotels and motels to put these people in. And there should absolutely be inclement weather alert that absolutely make certain that no homeless person is left outside by the bridge when the temperatures are going to dip below freezing like they did this last time. That was totally unacceptable for anybody to be in a tent next to the bridge when the temperatures was at one degrees. And I think it was under the bridge ministries went out there and saved those people and took them to hotels. I think even Patrice Jones helped make certain that some of those hotels took those people. So, that shouldn't be the citizens' responsibility. That should be our city should take on that responsibility. Don't y'all agree with that?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
And you think now they're voting, they want to put on, they're voting to see if we can get four casinos. And I know two of them are going to be near the DFW area. What is that going to do to turn around the problems that we already have existing? Because that's going to help the developers. That's going to help the people who own the casinos. But show me where they build casinos and that revenue has helped a disenfranchised community.
Wow.
Because the damn show didn't work in New Orleans.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. If they can show where it worked, that'd be good. But if they can't show where it works, there's your template right there, If it's not working, but I can't believe we can build casinos.
It's going to put people further in poverty. It's going to put people further in poverty. Why? Man, if I can just go down here and hit a lick. How many of us have friends or people that we know talking about, well, I'm going to the boat this weekend and I'm going to see what it do.
Mm-hmm.
Or how many people we know go to Vegas and say, well, I'm going to take $2,500. Well, if you're going to take $2,500 and you got that much to what I call trick off, say you ever thought about trying to hook up with somebody else with another $2,500? you know, get about 4 or 5 people with that kind of money and try to put a little business together, like some of these things we're talking about. I got friends that we're literally looking for investors to actually start businesses and buying schools. That's what we're trying to do, you know. Yeah. But if the people that
You said y'all trying to buy what?
We're trying to buy schools and set up businesses. We're looking at ways to bring infrastructure into our communities, and this is something we're trying to do. These are things we don't have to ask downtown about.
That's true.
But we're looking for investors, for people that want to. We know of a school that's available. We trying to work something out with them. They were asking 2.5. You know, hey, if we can get them down to 950 or a million, look at here. We got a business now. So we're looking for investors for things like that. So what a lot of cities will do. They'll have an inside track to where we're going to see if we can put them out of the price range.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can put them out of the price range, we'll hold them off. It's like you said earlier about Magnolia. My mom lives down the street from over there. Mm-hmm. We moved from the south side over to that side of town. And I remember when nothing was up on Magnolia. And now when you drive down Magnolia, man, they got those sidewalk cafes. They open 7 days a week. You know, and you can't tell me we can't have that kind of development on Miller.
I agree, Brother Wayman. And again, this is where the bond, where my issue is with this bond money, Sister Carrie. Okay, what do you want? What does your district need? What do you want in your community? All right, they're posing these questions because they're my opinion is that they're wanting to do these things anyway because it's a 10, 20, 30, 40-year plan about the development of the very community or neighborhood that they're earmarking this bond money for. And so, again, they're using our tax dollars to further gentrify and displace us. So we have to be very careful, okay, with submitting suggestions about what we need. My feel is it should be the current need, not the projected need, because in my dealings, okay, and observations, and NAC as a community liaison between the city of Fort Worth and the residents in Lake Como, okay, they'll come to the residents and ask, what do you need? We have such $8.9 million for the revitalization of Horn Street, or $1.21, you know, for this, that, and the other. But in all actuality, all of that is going for the resident who was placed back into House District 90 for the affordable living that's displacing the original inhabitant to further the procurement of West 7th Street and what's that, Stone Gate? Yes.
Yep.
So we have to be very careful. And then they take the least amount of the money, all right, and just do kind of like patchwork to appease, all right. And then and when the plan they come in, say, for instance, over here, South 6th can attest to this as well as the South Side. They want to experiment with all this totalitarian surveillance capitalism with these security cameras and all that. It's called pork bill into that little bond package, all right? So we're going to assess it all, or we threaten to lose that money, all right? So when you reject part of that pork bill, all right, and you suggest that the money be implemented for the needs of today for the current residents of that neighborhood, oh, they can't do it. Oh, and if you suggest that you take some of that money and employ some of these unemployed teens and young adults on the street to do the trash pickup or the mooring of the lots or whatever, oh, no, you can't do that either because they got contracts with Union Gospel Mission. They act like they can't restructure the things, but yet still, they come into the community and asking for the suggestions. In my observation, in all actuality, they already know what they're going to do. And then if you don't accept it, they're going to tell you what you're going to do. And then if you don't do that, then you're going to forfeit that money, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Yep.
Great. Let's see,
y'all. In a nutshell.
We got enough brain power on this show to affect a whole lot of change downtown. That's the truth. That's the truth. And we need to stop sitting down waiting for somebody else to go do what we have the ability to do ourselves.
We want support because we don't have the right dialect. We don't look like, live like, and talk like most that they want to represent. It's kind of hard to push through, Carrie, without support, okay? It's kind of hard to do it as the Lone Ranger. That's why I suggested that candidates in districts 3, 5, 6, and 7, you know, campaign together, because all of us share like concerns that not only are affecting us and displacing us, but it threatens generations to come to about. And if we don't act now with this redistricting task force stuff, independent redistricting task force, oh, it's a wrap for us to ever elect anyone that looks like, talks like, and live like we do within our district as we know it today.
Let me say this, too. Yeah. I think we need to be getting the city council agenda the minute it comes out. And I think every developer that goes downtown, we need to heckle his behind with, are you going to have a percentage of your units available to moderate for moderate and low-income people? Because every single one, all those developers are coming down there, but I don't think I'm hearing the question, what percentage of these units will go to moderate to low-income people? Because, see,
they hold out the building because they don't want to do it. That's our situation out here in District 3.
But we got to demand that, though. You can't just come in here with all these new units, but we need a percentage of every single developer who's putting a multifamily dwellings up in these communities, that a portion of that be allocated toward, and a nice portion, not just 10%. We need 30 to 50%, at least 30% going to moderate to low-income people.
I was going to say,
yes.
Most people do it at 30%. Even when they do the contract work that they're supposed to have meted out to small minority businesses, that's supposed to be 30% of that work also. But the problem that I've been seeing with that is when they deal with the minority business, they turn around and do the flip on the community, and it might be a minority business, but they're not hiring the minorities within that community to work there.
Okay. Yeah, Sister Carrie, you're talking about residents or developers? Percentage of residents to live in those dwellings or contractors?
No, I'm talking about
the
residents.
Developers.
I'm talking about the residents
come back to live there.
Yes. That every single one
and
of
see,
these
but it's hard to get the residents there because the rent is so high. And then the conditions are going on, you know, deposit. You know, a lot of us, we don't have that first and last month rent, or, you know, our jobs don't generate enough income even for the amount set to qualify to move in there. So that opens up the door for, like, college students and, you know, stuff like that, the parents that's going to pay.
Oh, well, we got to fix that thing. We got to fix that, though, because, see, the developer, when he puts it in there, he needs to know, you want to come up in here, you bring your new development, then you gotta allow for some people that are low to moderate to low income, period.
And it should respect the rent of that neighborhood. Yes. Affordable housing market that for that neighborhood. But see, we can't get in there because it's five or eight times higher than what we live.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this regarding the reflection of rental. The current properties that are in the Western Quarter and I'll say the Western Quarter, the Las Vegas Trail area, this, that, or the other. It's silent about it, but I know more people are becoming homeless because those rental rates are they are pricing people out, and those properties are, you know, those properties are 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, but they don't
even
have a cap on, right, and they don't have a cap on raising rent. I think it should be a cap on how much rent they can raise at these properties, because, like I said, people are becoming homeless. More people are becoming homeless. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yes, that same area on Cherry Lane, you have the Broadmoor apartment complex, brand new apartment complex to accommodate the need of the low income and the homeless, but the criteria of getting in that place is so high,
right,
people can't qualify,
right,
to get in. So, again, they saying that they're taking care of the need, but in all actuality, they aren't. And then the investors, they'll come in and call in the debt or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Being high, that's
smoke and mirrors.
The people that they buying to come into the city and displace us one more time again.
Yep.
Smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors.
What's that?
Let me say something to y'all. When we're talking about these property taxes going up, I was a mortgage broker for a long time. So when you have a mortgage payment, you have what's called PITI. That's principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So when we keep talking about taxes going up, your insurance goes up too, because they're going off your appraised value. So as your appraised value inflates, then your insurance is going to adjust to that too. So when we keep seeing this tax base go up, these people are getting priced out of their mortgage. You know what I'm saying? Their mortgage payment is going to go up. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's going to shift just based on that. And so I was thinking Ann Zeta had a good point, and we really do need to focus on this as far as these taxes downtown. No elderly person who is got an issue with taxes should lose their home just based on taxes, too. That's another issue.
All right.
We should make them cap that.
No, that's something I try to work on, and even with Dan Patrick, that's the lieutenant governor. And I told him, let's cut the string. I don't care about you trying to lower down the tax cover. You lower it, can go back up again, you know. Let's cut the string. I think after 65, you ought to be property tax-free, so you can live in your home just a little while and know what it is to own your home, you know, without someone being able to raise it or owe you. You know, you're owned by the government. You never own your home. You're a renter, you know, until you own it for a little bit. And I think there's a way you could do it. But
free is fair, but I think, I mean, you know, pay something into the system, because, I mean, there is certain.
Well, you have all your life, you know, after 65 and on, things, you know, you can't start a new career at 65, you know, and maybe you can't pay your electric or water, but at least you know your roof's over your head, okay?
Yeah.
And that would be a sense of security as you get old.
And so if every elderly person who had a home never had to pay anything, I mean, you don't think $100 a year is fair or something like that? You just nothing?
Well, that's about what it is, Carrie. But the thing of it is, if you don't have any money, okay, no money. You don't have any money to pay with nothing.
They have to have something, because they got to eat. They got to pay you.
The first dollar you get up,
you know,
get for food. You get from the shelter. You get food from the you can get food from the Salvation Army. You can get all kinds of things, but you got a shelter to go back to, okay?
But
now,
but you still
if
pay
the
your
taxes
utility,
take your shelter away, you have nothing, period.
Well, this is what's going on, because over here where I'm at, a lot of these people have lost their properties because the grandparents or the parents have left the property to the children. And what the children have done, you know, you might have a tax bill of $5,000. Well, if in a working household of two people, that's doable where I live. That's $5,000 in a year. That's doable.
Yeah.
You get on a payment plan. You make that. Mm-hmm. You make those payments. But what these guys have been doing, they'll inherit the property. They'll then sit on the property for about another 4 or 5 years, thinking, hey, well, I'll wait till the market value goes up. But dude, you're still not paying the taxes. So what you wind up thinking you're going to get in profit, you're actually going to get a zero, lose the property in taxes for what you were asking for the house.
Wow.
So
right.
That's why the age limit thing, that's what I'm saying. You got to put something in to maintain ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put something in.
Oh, there's lots of details. I'm just thinking some way or another we can at the end of the day, you shouldn't be, you shouldn't lose your home. Should never be a leverage to get a last dollar out of you. I'll just put it that way. You know, to get your last dollar in your home is a leverage.
That goes back to infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we will put? Why is it it's easier to put a church in a community than it is to put a business in a community?
All right, all right. Zoning.
Teaching finance literacy instead of teaching religion doctrine, a lot of this stuff will resolve itself.
Okay.
Because I can tell you, on Wichita, there's over 80 churches on Wichita Street.
Wow.
80.
Yeah. I know there's a lot over in that area.
27.1 square mile.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So think about if think about if we had 50% of that in businesses. That we had a Caldwell or somebody like that, or we had a Edwards that we could start doing financial planning. Again, I'm old school. From the time I was in kindergarten, they start teaching us banking. And you start putting up your nickels, pennies, and dimes. Man, by the time you get out of high school, you got enough money to go to college, if that's your choice. Trade school or whatever you want to do, or start a small business. If nothing else, COVID showed us that there's more than one way to get financial gain in this world today.
Yeah, it is.
So if we can put more emphasis on our infrastructure and how to maintain that, we don't have to worry about people losing their homes.
Well, like I said, all starts with the first thing is trying to get some kind of moral values back into City Hall. Some kind of honesty and transparency back in there is where it all – without that, I think we're just, you know, it's almost irrelevant until we get that installed first. Some people that will work with us.
We don't have to wait on City Hall. We don't have to wait on City Hall for everything. And we can't keep – that's why a lot of people of color have become disenfranchised in the first place.
Waiting.
The welfare system was nothing but a trap. You know, you here it is. You'll tell a minority family that, hey, in order for you to get health and benefits, you can't have a man in your home.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, if you got a white farmer, he still gets to not only farm his land, but the government was giving him grants and also sending him to school to teach him how to farm the land. So that's systemic racism again. So we keep going. I've been riding this wheel a long time. You know, and mine ain't went flat yet.
Regarding, you know, what you were speaking of, as far as like, I know we have, like you say, within our community, we have a lot of churches. One thing I learned from going down to those council meetings is they treat zoning in our districts, in the disenfranchised districts, they treat the zoning different than they treat the zoning in those predominantly, you know, upper economical districts. It's like they allow any and everybody to just have say in our districts. You know, I witnessed that the zoning is different. How they vote, you know, how they allow things with the zoning in our area. It's like, hey, it's just their community. Just put whatever they need it. And then them other areas, no, that's not happening. You will not have a barbershop within so many feet of another barbershop. You will not have whatever the store is. If I'm selling this and you trying to sell the same thing, you can't be across the street from. You can't be 2 feet down from. You got to be around the corner. You can't be in the same shopping strip. But they treat zoning. Y'all got where I'm going on it. They treat it differently.
That's a big deal. You open up a McDonald's in one corner. Next week, they open up another one on the next corner down, and that just kills both businesses, you know, too much.
I'm
going
to turn y'all on to something. Do y'all know how L.A. Fitness make its money?
No.
Drugs?
L.A. Fitness, this is how they make their money. I was a personal training manager there. They make their money. Every L.A. Fitness is no greater than 9 to 10 miles apart from one another. Not a one. They're no further than 9 or 10 miles apart from one another. Guess what? They make sure by every LA Fitness, They make sure there is a McDonald's, and they make sure there's a Chick-fil-A or Whataburger.
Keep you fat.
Come on now. So
it's all about business.
When you leave the gym, you're going to have to fuel up.
Yeah.
So if you look up at Forest Hill where they have Planet Fitness.
Right, right. Nothing but food. Right.
Look at the businesses they got around Planet Fitness. You got a Luby's, you got a Denny's, you got three hotels.
Sonic.
Taco
Bell.
Then you go up into the community. Then you go up into the neighborhood. Okay, let's look at Lancaster.
Uh-oh.
You got what, a CVS? But you got a
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Bardella over there, I think.
Wow.
Yep,
so you
in a fitness place right behind it. Yep.
Like you said, how they zone it.
Right.
Mm. You know what? So, speaking of zoning, I just, as Wayman was saying, how do we make sure we have some faces that look like us on the zoning commission, seeing that the city council puts them people on those seats?
Well, the zoning board. I'm not even sure if we need a zoning board, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's appointed by council, and they do what council says, basically.
But we got one. So how do we make sure we put some people that think like us on that board?
Well, your council member puts them on there.
We need to apply. You apply.
You need to apply.
Well, it's
because I know
position.
I applied one, and they were like,
you
"Well, we're
to
going
the
with a different Fort
Worth website."
Yep.
Well, then you do what? How do you get on it?
Well, your council member puts you on, right?
I get my application in. But you go to the City of Fort Worth website, and then you go to a board and committee. Okay, the city council person, each district will nominate or put, you know, a person that he selects from the applicants to a board. And then you sit on that board 2 terms, 4 terms, however long it is, okay? And then the mayor will select a person to that same board, and then you'll have a person from each district on each particular board.
The council member selects that person at the end of the day. So it doesn't matter what you go through. The council member selects whoever they want, right?
You know what? Tanya Cardigan dropped us that information. They dropped her on the call, y'all.
Oh. Well.
We're going to get out of here. Now we see how
but,
they do it.
Okay. Let's pass my Geritol time. Raymond's good hearing from you again.
Hey, man. I'm almost out of the doctor's care, Bob. So I'm good, man. I'm getting my strength back and getting the mobility. So
good.
But I go back on the 17th, and hey, man, if everything's good, just see me back out in them streets.
Wow, that's good. I also need you to come down to City Council and just yell at these new council members before they get their feet planted in the concrete. So maybe, you know, we can try to rock them a little bit.
I just strongly suggest.
Yo, I think every week we should either show up or call in. I mean, seriously, every week we should call in and be a part of the whole process down there and let them know we are watching everything.
Well, that's what I'm doing now. On Sunday night when I do my show, I start off with the agenda, kind of going over parts of that. So, but, yeah, we need to – so if that helps any, I keep plugging my show. I like that every time I get a chance. But yeah, look at the agenda and,
hey, y'all,
and pay attention.
Before we go
–
I'm sorry. Yeah. Hey, y'all, before we go, remember we are moving to the new City Hall on next next week. They're moving to the new City Hall, so yeah, so we need to show up.
You know what?
We need to be there.
I wish we could have seen that, too, how they made it. Because, you know, Dallas has a horseshoe. They put the people up looking down. But City Council here puts themselves on pillars looking down at us. I wish we could have seen the making of that, you know?
It's the bully pit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know. And it's a 10 o'clock council meeting this Tuesday. It's a morning one. I hate that.
Oh,
it's a 10 o'clock a.m. council meeting this Tuesday, and I hate that. I like the 7 o'clock ones a lot better. But
yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well, everybody take care. I'm glad y'all are on the panel and all the work you're doing. I'll catch everybody later. Take care, okay? Thank you, Carrie.
Bye, Bob.
Huh?
Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. Thanks, Chris Nettles, Tanya, Twin, Wayman Brown, Adrian Smith, and Eddie Griffin, Bob Willoughby. Thank y'all all. Listen, we'll see you next week, same time, same bad channel. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.